I'm coming to you from Bedford, Nova Scotia, which is just outside Halifax. And I bring you greetings today from Atlantic School of Theology in Halifax, where I teach historical theology. My name is Rob Fennell, and I'm very glad to join you today. I did visit Parkdale a few years ago, and I'm hoping to have a chance to do so again. But it's a special pleasure today to worship with you as we celebrate in this year, 2025, the 100th anniversary of the United Church of Canada. It's a remarkable thing to think of our 100 years and to look back to where it all started. The very first nudging towards a United Church for Canada was in 1903, and that came after a couple of decades of prior unions among the Presbyterian churches in Canada and the Methodist churches in Canada, and their respective denominational families had already undertaken some unions in the past. But it wasn't until another 20 years had gone by, 1925, after the First World War, of course, when this formal union took place among all of the Presbyterians, all the Methodists, all the Congregationalists, and about two-thirds of the Presbyterians in Canada, and also a group called the Local Union Churches, all of these combined into the United Church of Canada in 1925. And there was a huge celebration that took place in Toronto at a place called the Mutual Street Arena. Now, that arena is no longer there, but it's quite close to what we used to call Maple Leaf Gardens. You might know that Maple Leaf Gardens is now part of Toronto Metropolitan University. But the Mutual Street Arena, just sort of around the corner and down the block, was where the Maple Leaf hockey team played their first 13 seasons. And at the time, 1925, it was the largest indoor arena in Canada. And we filled it right up with thousands of people singing passionately, praying passionately, offering worship and preaching and acts of celebration to give thanks to God for this amazing coming together of the original partners who formed the United Church of Canada. Then about four decades later, in 1968, there was another Canadian denomination that came into the United Church called the Evangelical United Brethren. Well, what I want to offer this morning is not really a rehearsal of the past, although our history as a United Church is very rich and very moving, but what I would like to highlight are what I would consider four of the key features of the United Church of Canada's identity and theological heritage, things that we can celebrate, things that we can continue to champion in the years ahead. There are other features, of course, but these are four that I think are central to what it means to be the United Church of Canada. An anniversary like this, or even if it was just 10 years or 50 years, or if it was 500 years, an anniversary gives us a chance to tell the old stories. But in the Christian movement, we also lean forward. You know, we lean forward to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying in the present and try to open the sails of our hearts, so to speak, to catch the fresh breeze of the Spirit as she draws us forward. We have a wonderful heritage in the United Church, and we have many more years of faithful witness and service that are still ahead of us. The four features of the United Church that I want to speak about are first of all, personal spiritual development, or what we might call discipleship, local charitable action, or simply serving our neighbors, social transformation, which we often call social justice, and last of all, but not least, the centrality of Jesus Christ. I'm sure these won't come as a surprise to you if you've been around the United Church for a while. And if you are part of another Christian tradition, these probably sound pretty familiar. And if you're not really familiar with Christianity, these are the kinds of things that are common among most Christian churches. So the first thing, personal spiritual development or a focus on discipleship, are things, something that's been around since the beginning. The United Church has always put an emphasis on developing or growing in spiritual terms. This has taken many forms, you know, Sunday school and youth groups and vacation Bible school and youth camps and so on. But for adults too, we've had book studies and Bible studies and prayer groups and much more that have always been meant to help us grow spiritually. Indeed, the acts of worship on Sunday morning or at any other time are meant to help us deepen our lives as disciples and followers of Jesus. So personal spiritual development is always absolutely for the benefit of an individual, but it also helps each of us to grow up in the Spirit toward a richer fellowship with each other. To follow Jesus is not only a kind of a personal ethic or a private kind of adventure, but also it's meant to help us bond deeply with other Christians in the community of the church. To follow Jesus means to be part of a community, to be part of a fellowship, to be part of a common team that pulls together in the same direction. From the beginning, we in the United Church have put an emphasis on this, the spiritual development of each person. And today, we continue that. We learn together and teach together. We discover how to pray. We learn how to engage with the Bible, how to speak about our faith with one another. We learn how to tell others beyond the four walls of the church about our faith and the Christian way. We've learned also about the spiritual traditions of others, and we continue to learn, especially about indigenous peoples' way of believing and living in spiritual terms, and also the spiritual traditions of other religious communities. These have profoundly enriched our life together. Our personal spiritual development also shows up in everyday life, when we are loving our neighbors or committing ourselves to kindness and care or serving the common good. In his letter to the church in Corinth, Paul wrote, "To each person is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." For to each person is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. In other words, every person has a share in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the joyful task is given to each of us of growing spiritually. And that's always been part of our identity and part of our walk that we walk together. The second feature is local charitable action or simply serving our and caring for our neighbors. Again, from the very beginning, the United Church has had a strong emphasis on this, local charitable action, reaching out to our neighbors in concrete ways when they are in need. We have taken food to people known to us who are in trouble or grieving. We've been very active in setting up things like food banks and food cupboards and soup kitchens and breakfast programs and much more so that hungry bellies can get something to eat. We've shared our money with causes, other programs that do good work. We have built hospitals and schools. In the United Church, we've always welcomed refugees and provided programs for young families, worked to reach out and to assist people with addictions. We have visited prisoners. We have visited folks living in hospital or staying in hospital or living in long-term care. These and many more concrete actions, specific things we have done for others, are really part of our spirituality, part of following Jesus. It was Jesus, after all, who said, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. To love and serve others is, in fact, to love and serve God, in other words. To love and serve others is so important that we even put it into our new creed as we describe our shared and collective faith, to love and serve others. These kinds of concrete actions, specific actions that have always worked to alleviate suffering and assist our neighbors, these will always be central for the United Church. These kinds of expressions of faith will always be central to who we are and what we're meant to be. The third feature I want to highlight is social transformation or social justice. Again, from the very earliest days, the United Church has been at the forefront of Canadian society, calling for transformation and justice. In the first part of the 20th century, this was called the social gospel movement. And in the United Church, we were right in there, right at the heart of it. And the social gospel teaches that our salvation, our quality of being saved, isn't just about a private relationship with Jesus, some kind of guarantee that I will personally go to heaven. Our salvation is always linked, tied up together with the well-being and salvation of our neighbors as well. And so where there has been injustice in the treatment of women, for example, the United Church has spoken out and demonstrated and lobbied and worked for change. When racism has poisoned the wells of our common cup, we have spoken out and demonstrated and lobbied and worked for change. When the mistreatment of queer folks has resulted in harm and the diminishment of life, we have spoken out and lobbied and demonstrated and worked for change. When apartheid ripped apart South African society, we have spoken out. We demonstrated, we lobbied, we worked for change. These and many, many more needs and causes in society have always risen to the top of the agenda for the United Church these last 100 years. We are an activist church, in other words. We are deeply engaged with our society and our world. We're not separatists who stand apart and just watch the world and kind of abandon it to its troubles. Rather, we get involved. We roll up our sleeves. We continue to champion social justice and social transformation. So even today, we are working and yearning for reconciliation, changed hearts, right relations, and a good mind with respect to our relationships with First Nations and all peoples. We shout out against the bloodshed in Gaza and Ukraine. We advocate passionately for social policies that lift up and liberate and give dignity to those who are impoverished and disenfranchised. We're not perfect at any of this. We make mistakes. We fail. But we also pick ourselves up and keep going, determined to continue to learn, to strive, to try to get it right. But this ongoing work of social transformation is key to our identity in the United Church. Sometimes people who are not part of our church would say that's the only thing they know about us, is that we have this activist seeking after social justice. So it's a kind of a special gift that God has given us to be passionate for justice, and we will continue to strive and pray and work in these directions. The fourth feature I want to highlight isn't an activity or an action, but it is rather a faith conviction, and that is the centrality of Jesus Christ. Again, from the very beginning, the person and work of Jesus Christ has been at the center of the United Church. Through Jesus, we have found our focus on God. There was a biblical scholar in the mid-20th century who said, his name was William Barclay, and he said that Jesus is the window through which we see what God is like. Isn't that a great image? Jesus is the window through which we see what God is like. And so by following, learning about, drawing close to Jesus, we draw close to God. As a result, our faith statements in the United Church, our worship services, our prayers, our private devotional lives, our celebration of the sacrament of communion are centered on Jesus. He's more than a nice guy, you know, and also more than like another dead historical hero. Jesus is the risen one, the morning star, the bringer of grace, the witness of forgiveness. He is the living sacrifice, the light of the world, the embodiment of love, the word of God. He is the very presence of God among us. So this focus on Jesus Christ is distinctive in the Christian movement. It makes us quite distinct from, you know, yet another social service organization or a supper club or a musical appreciation society. Jesus is at the center of the church because he is the Lord of life. And through him, we are set free from the false idols of this and every age. No other Lord, no other power or force can command our allegiance. To be Christians in that original sense of the word, to be a Christian meant to be like a little Christ. That is, we are invited into this way in which we also are persons who share the light of God wherever we go in all we do and all that we say. No one ever said that would be easy, but Jesus has promised to be with us even to the end of the age. He remains at our side. He continues to show us the path that leads to life. His way, his model, his light open up a life for us that is incomparable in power and goodness. It is the power not of domination, but the power of loving vulnerability. It is all about the goodness of self-giving, not the accumulation of personal benefit. When the United Church of Canada was formed in 1925, we chose a motto to guide our life together. That motto you can find still on the fish-shaped crest of the United Church, although it is in Latin. It was a saying of Jesus in the Gospel of John, that all may be one. In fact, it was a prayer that Jesus offered for all his followers, that all of God's people would be one, not divided, not conflicted, but that we would be drawn together in the love of God, the love of the triune God, the Holy Trinity, to be fed and nurtured and strengthened, and then indeed to be sent out again to serve the world that God loves. So I would suggest that we can and should share that prayer today and in all the years ahead, that all may be one in Christ. We can pray that our personal spiritual development will be rich and joyful. We can pray that our service to our neighbors will be generous and filled with kindness. We can pray that our commitment and work for social justice will continue to burn brightly and passionately for the sake of the world God loves. And we can pray that by placing Jesus Christ at the center of our lives, we can be truly transformed and become the people that God would have us be. Thanks be to God for the first 100 years of the United Church of Canada. Alleluia. Amen.